Go for it.
Friggin' what up, dude? Strider Wilson, and I'm the host of this podcast that's mine. Going to be called History Is Dying.
History is dying with Strider Wilson.
Frickin' what up, and welcome back to another ep of History is Dank. I'm your host, Strider Wilson. We got Aaron beasting it on the sticks, dude. Aaron, what up, dude?
What up?
And if you're able to read, which if you can't, I ain't judging it. I barely can. The books I like, they've got stuff that pops up and smells good. We've got an extra special guest on the episode today, a true artist. Welcome to the podcast, Dankatorians, Pau Aguirre. How is that pronunciation?
It sounds good. You do well. Yeah, that's good.
That's being too that's kind.
Good. Aguirre.
Aguirre. Pau Aguirre.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Oh, so stoked to have you here. Pau is an artist. We met, she runs a comedy show at her art studio called Pau House. Mm-hmm. And Pau, tell us a little bit about your studio and art background before we get into talking about the Bauhaus.
Yeah, it's in the middle of Hollywood. It's a block from Paramount, which is cool.
Sick.
Right on Melrose. I got the space because it was abandoned and it was underneath my apartment. So a year ago, I snagged it.
Love it.
And since then, I started figure drawing first. I was trying to think, okay, what can I do here? Mm-hmm. You know, like I saw the opportunity of renting it out, you know, to production or whatever. Like, that's easy money.
Hell
but
yeah.
Also, like, I want to do my own thing and I love figure drawing. So I was like, oh, I can do figure drawing. That's cool.
Now, figures, we're talking about the human figure or maybe like a still life, like a banana.
Hire a model, a nude model.
Nice.
And she comes and poses for artists and they all. I have maybe 15 to 25 artists who come and yeah, we just practice and it's a great little business, you know?
It's awesome.
So I started doing that, but I wanted to do more things there. And
yeah.
I'm heavy in the comedy scene. So
yes.
I know hundreds of comics. So I thought, okay, what can I do with this stage I have for these models? Why not throw a comedy show?
Boom.
I've never thrown a comedy show before, but I didn't think it was going to be that difficult.
No, you just book the comics. They come in. They do their stuff.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was such a good vibe. The studio's got a great vibe.
Thanks.
Which, do you know what it was before you bought it? Was it like anything weird?
The place?
Yeah.
Was it like a store
for taxidermy or something strange?
It was
that going on?
I think it was a tile shop before.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And then it was
that's down the middle. That works.
And then
tile shop for stonemason? No.
Right. I think another art gallery was before me.
Sick.
But it was kind of shady and weird. It was one of those just, I don't know.
Would you say, now that you run a comedy show there, and by the way, check it out. It's called Pau House, if you don't know. Also, check out our art. I'll put the links
every Friday.
Every Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. I gotta come back. You know, I'm just telling myself. you gotta hustle as a comic. You're not going anywhere. Check it out every Friday. Also, I'm gonna put links to Pau's socials and her stuff so you can check it out if you're interested in doing so in the show description. But it's so fired up. I mean, doing open mics, it's brutal.
Yeah,
it's tough. I mean, but doing, you know, that's truly, it's an art. You're using your studio for the craft. Not to get too, you know, up my own butt here.
No,
but
absolutely.
It's like, that's what it's for. And you got to get through that a lot of bad.
Yeah.
Like I feel like a bad drawing is like
yeah.
The negative externalities. Like you wasted that paper. But like a bad stand-up set where it's like, dude, it's like every dude's talking about dark sexual stuff. You're like, all right, dude, like keep it moving. You know, it's just a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You got any gems that you've heard?
I mean, I've had to tell a couple people not come back.
Really?
Definitely. Yeah. There was this one guy, I don't know, some comics think that they can just do whatever they want, I guess. And this guy brought a blender, like a portable blender, and a dildo. He took it out of his pants.
Oh my God. To trick everybody as if he was pulling it out.
I don't know. It bothered me. And I don't get bothered easily. I'm not offended easily. Trust me. Like, anyone who knows me. Dude. And this just, I'm just looking at him like, what is he doing? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
But also, like, I respect the performance, you know, the performance art. That's fine. But yeah, I was like, yeah, no.
Exactly. You let him finish his set. You gave him his time.
Yeah.
He did his 5 minutes.
He blended the dildo. I didn't even finish. He blended the dildo in, and he whipped, he wore a white, like, trench coat.
Yeah.
Which I don't like either. I don't like anything about it.
Yeah,
this.
Very alarming. Trench coats are very alarming.
And then just pulling something out, right? I didn't know what he was pulling out. And I also don't like that. Like, don't. So he's like pulling.
Maybe this guy's
out.
Genius. I am laughing hearing about this.
It was actually, I mean, everyone's talking about it still.
Really?
I mean, look at us. We're talking about it now.
Exactly. This guy,
he knows what he's doing.
Check him out. His name's Strider Wilson. He's really funny.
I let him come back, though.
You did?
Yeah. He's harmless.
But no more prop. Hey, speaking of prop comics, Gallagher just died. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of genius. Did he like act like it was still attached to his body while blending it up? Being like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he had like fake blood and it was just too much. I don't know.
I used to go to this place, Marty's, one of the worst. It was like rehab comedy. It was like that wasn't like the topic, but that was the vibe. There was like a coffee pot that wasn't plugged in. It was always cold. Like, you literally did a mic without an amp to wake up neighbors. It was like in this dude's house.
What?
And one time my fiance, being very supportive, was like, oh, come check out a stand. I'll come check out an open mic. I'm like, no, that's not like that's no. Like akin to like watching someone shoot hoops in their backyard. It's like, no, like come see a game, which won't be good at that point anyway. But like, she comes to the show, and it was like, she was like the only lady there. Marty running it was like, I'm gonna do a special set for your girlfriend. Special set. Gets up there and it's just rape joke after rape joke after rape joke, staring straight at her. And we were like, all right. He's like, all right, you're up next. And I was like, I think we might just bounce. It's like so weird.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this was like a sort of like an institution of bad stand up there.
You know,
but you gotta plow through.
Honestly, what I've noticed is after running open mic, like, I didn't have open mic at first. I just threw my own shows every Friday because I just like comedy and mm-hmm. I don't really like going out. And I don't like going to comedy studio. I don't like.
Well, you got a badass studio. It feels like
a
party.
Why not on my own? Like, I just have to depend on my. I have to depend on myself to mm-hmm. book these shows. So sometimes it's a little hard, but for the most part, it's pretty easy. Like, like you said, comics are down to like put some time in, and why not? I have this stage. Like, what mm-hmm. else am I doing on a Friday night? I might as well just throw my own show that I would watch myself. So
hell yeah,
you know, and you never know. Like, sometimes I'll shoot for like. Big comics like, you know, Greg Fitzsimmons or like
love him.
Ron
love
Funches him. Or like, you best. Know, all these cool, and they actually come.
Yeah,
like, yeah, sure,
yeah.
I'll fucking come. Or, you know, Nika King, like, I have all these cool, it's cool comics come through and it's fun.
It's awesome.
But open mic is a whole different thing. Like,
Definitely different.
Because I've gotten to know all these comics, like, they start telling me like, oh, you should do open mic on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. And I was like, okay, cool. So I ended up getting, do you know Jackson Banks?
Wait, was he on the show that I was? No, I don't know Jackson Banks.
He's so funny. Check him out, Jackson Banks. I had him host my first open mic. He doesn't even really do open mics, but I just asked him. I was like, hey, Jackson, can you do this? Like,
yeah.
It's on a Tuesday. It's my first one. You know, like, I wanted to get into it. And I expected not a lot. Like, I expected not a huge crowd because mm-hmm. it was the first night. But I had about like 7 non-comics show up.
That's huge. Okay? For an open mic, that's huge. That's great.
But no comics. No other comics. So Jackson was freaking out. He's like, oh my God, like, there's nobody here. Like, there's no comics. Yeah. Just me, kid. What am I going to do? And I go, I guess you're going to have to entertain us.
Boom.
You
there
got
you go.
45 minutes. Let's see. And he did.
Really?
And he was amazing. Yeah, it was one of the best sets I've ever seen. It was just so weird and funny. And he ended up at the end of the show. He was shirtless.
Love
and
it.
Had a sword.
Oh, let's go!
I don't know what even.
That sounds
happened,
like a Friday night at my great. House solo.
But here's the thing: it's like with this place. You know what? I figured out Tuesdays do not work. They didn't work. So I talked to some friends, some comic friends, and they're like, oh, try Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So the next week, I tried Wednesday, and a little later, boom, I had 20 comics waiting outside.
It's good. Yeah. Tuesday's like the club. A lot of the clubs do like improv, Laugh Factory. Yeah. They've got theirs.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But theirs ends kind of early at like.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, yeah, all the right. comics going to come right over. And yeah, no.
They
you
network.
Know, nobody came.
You got to network. You got to have your business card, your Insta.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I do flyers. I post up like those work.
Well, let's go. And now the word's out on History is Dank. At ATC, let's freaking go.
It's fun. But I think it is more of like a, it's like therapy, you know,
oh,
for these guys. So it's like, I'm not even looking at it like, oh, it's not really to entertain myself on Wednesdays. It's more just to have this stage open for these comics who, you know, these are nitty gritty fucking diehard comics. I love it. I love knowing mm-hmm. them. I love knowing the, you know, the crews that bounce from open mic to open mic, and then they come to mine, and I love them. They're cool, they're fun, you know, so I enjoy it.
And a room like yours is great to have because you know, you can go to the improv or the Laugh Factory or the store, and it's tough to get up because everyone who's starting comedy, that's where they go.
Right.
But if you want to get some time and get better, it's like the alternative rooms like yours that are great. You can really hone your craft, which is also takes us directly into what we're talking about today, this Bauhaus, you know, going back to, you know, we've got to keep it history as dank, got to talk some history here a little bit. It's a blend of different crafts, different, it's like basically you have your fine arts, your visual, you get this term visual arts out of there, but it's basically this movement in modern art where you take like stuff that would be considered design or decor and it's coming together in like the 1920s in Germany and Weimar is where it starts. And you get all these artists in this Bauhaus blending their ideas together. Mm-hmm. Their different crafts are coming together there. Anything from quilting to photography to painting to sculpting to architecture. Yeah. So that's why I love the palace, because you got the stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. You got the, you know, your... Oh, even before that, I wanted just to say, what's your fit? You like drawing figures. Also, the nude models.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find a nude model? Just asking for a friend. Or like, is there like a, is it like a backstage, is it like casting or something like that? Or is it like,
okay, so
are they artists?
That's a good question. Okay.
This is very intriguing.
I actually, this is funny. I actually went to a pool party.
This makes sense. I would imagine. Yes, yes, yes. I would imagine.
No, really. This is like the real story. Like I went to a pool party a little bit before I started my place, before I got the keys, but I knew I was going to create this figure drawing, you know, workshop. So I knew that was happening. And I show up to this pool party and there were like a few girls who were just walking around naked.
Whoa.
You know, they're just, it wasn't even like a Playboy play. I don't even know where I was. I actually
This is LA, guys. Welcome listeners out there.
You're
listening.
You don't even know.
This is how it goes down in LA, guys.
It's true.
My apartment complex pool is just me naked. I'm not allowed there anymore. Wielding my William Wallace broadsword. Okay, so you're at this pool party.
Yeah, so I'm at this party, and I had no idea it was that kind of party. But yeah, like a few girls walk out, and they're just naked, swimming, whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, at first, you know, you just go with the flow. I mean, I wasn't going to get naked. I don't know. But,
To each his own. You know, we ain't judging.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly.
You got to be cool. Like, if someone's walking around naked, and it's a lady, like, if it's a dude, just it's just like one dude naked, it's like you can make a stink. But if it's like a few ladies, you're like, I need to act cool. Like, I've been here. This is normal for me.
Yeah.
Locker room rules, like eye contact. Like, so what row did you take here? Oh, you came over the hill. Great.
Yeah,
great.
Like you see naked girls all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It happens all the time. Yeah. all the time. Okay, so you're acting cool.
So, yeah, anyway, I just kind of befriend these ladies, and they were cool. And I said, hey, would you all be interested in modeling for my art workshop? And they're like, yeah.
Hell yeah.
And I got their numbers, and from there, knowing three spread to knowing three more
from each.
And it just is like roots of just... you know, models. It's great.
That's awesome.
You know, and then I'll ask like this model, like, hey, do you know something? Yeah, so and so. And it's just perfect. So now I know tons.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. That's why you got to party. I'm telling you right now, partying. Yeah. People aren't, parents want to keep their kids from going to parties. Look, I get it. When
That's
you're
true.
Young, bad stuff can happen. But it's like this. you know, partying can be sick. It can really help your career. It can be tight. So
absolutely.
If you learn anything from this episode, we've learned that.
Learn to be cool.
Yeah. And drop some trowel when you know, it feels right for the vibe, not for yourself. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So a little bit before we get into it, I keep doing a little of this, a mm-hmm. little of that. You draw figures. If you were, and this is the worst thing, someone asked me this question, dude, Shredder, how can you define your comedy? I'm like, I don't know. Like I do like these stories that are long. I don't really do setup punch. So this is an asshole question of mine to ask, but it's like, and a tough one to answer, but it's like, your art mm-hmm. is, you draw figures. Is that like your main, are you in like a phase right now? Or what do you, because I've seen some of your works in your studio. They're all awesome. Check them out. I'm sure Thanks. You can check it on the link. But what do you like doing or are passionate about doing?
Maybe I think that's my problem. You know, some would say that mm-hmm. that's my problem is that I do too many different things. I paint too many different styles or whatever. But I just paint what I want to paint. If I'm feeling something, I'll do it. Like,
I
feel like painting a sky, just a sky, I'll just paint a sky. If I want to paint a gorilla, you know, I want to paint a gorilla. Like, I have a huge portrait of a... Yeah, I'm not even done with it. A lot of my work, I'm not even done with. And I'll just put it up, like, just because there's no space to put it. But I'll just put it up. And I actually like doing this because then I see, like, what people are drawn to. Mm. So it's kind of helping me figure out the art show that I'm going to eventually have myself. So, like, I know what to, like, kind of... It's helping me. I don't know. It's helping me and it's making me more... it's just, yeah, it's focusing on like what I need to finish, I guess is what I'd say.
I love
but
that.
Yeah, like I like to paint everything. I don't know. I'm kind of like, I like how Picasso, he had no style, you know, maybe you remember his particular, you know,
his cubism,
the cubism and all that. But like if you look at all of his work, he's done tons of different stuff.
Yeah. You got to find it. It's the process and the joy of that process. I love that. And when you have your show, I'll be there.
For sure.
And I'll be in a turtleneck. Because I imagine you got to wear a turtleneck at a show. And I got to assassinate somebody.
Yes.
I'm going to come to your art show in a turtleneck with one earring and assassinate somebody.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to the day. But not for that freaking dude that's going down. Bauhaus is about finding sort of this style. And it's like teaching art. So that's what's awesome. You get all these iconic artists together. Architects, photographers, like I mentioned, mm-hmm. teaching everybody. Mm-hmm. And the building itself, Aaron, if you could pull up the building here, well, that would be so dank. Also, Aaron loves gorillas. Aaron, I thought of that portrait immediately when I saw it at your studio. I was like, Aaron would love this.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, Aaron.
You know, it's Harambe.
Yeah, Harambe.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Harambe.
He should still be here.
Sniped, dude. It's terrible, that freaking kid. Hey, bad case of parenting, dude. Come on, dude.
Blame the mom.
Yeah, what are you doing, dude? Freaking mom. So this is the building itself here at Powell.
Oh,
and this was designed by one of the founders and the head of Bauhaus, this guy, Walter Gropius. Mm. Interesting name, probably saying that
Gropius.
Wrong. Yeah. Now, you want to cruise to a party at this dude Gropius' house? Gropius was definitely not invited to that pool party where you met your models. But this building itself, he wanted it to have no center point. Like if you look at it, because he wanted there to be like they had an agenda and Bauhaus wanted to, they wanted to pursue crafts together and design studios and workshops. They wanted to basically bring together design and art, right? Mm-hmm. And move into the future. Coming straight out of World War I between the two big wars. So he's like, I don't want anything to be too focused on one thing. So, you know, he has these windows here because he wants people to like see the art even happening in different wings and like presentation rooms and everything. So the building itself is considered a work of art.
I like the black roof.
Yeah, and like that design is cool. We'll get into it. This really is like very similar to a famous piece of architecture that we'll get into a little bit. By this dude like Mies van der Rohe in a little bit. But this is actually the second Bauhaus studio because in Dessau, Germany, it started in Weimar, but this is like the rise of Nazis during this era.
Yeah.
Guess what? Fascists don't like free thinking.
No.
And here they like free thinking, so they kept getting a lot of... So they kept having to move and move and move and move.
Right.
Like Weimar, Dessau, and then eventually Berlin until it closed in like 1933. So here... And Pat, I'd like maybe to lend us a little bit of your artistic perspective when you see these things. I mean, you know, for me, when it comes to history and stuff, it's not so much about the date. Yes, in the context of that era can inform things, but really, what are we feeling when we see this? Maybe you know some artistic rules. What about some linear lines? Like, what's going on in certain elements? Just lend us your eye a little bit. I mean, that's a true gift to this podcast and mm-hmm. everything. So some of these teachers that you have are names that you maybe have heard of if you follow art a little bit, some household names. This dude, Paul Klee, was one of their big artists. He's got a painting called Dance Monster to My Soft Song. I like that title.
Say that one more time.
Dance Monster to My Soft Song.
Ooh.
And this is by Paul Klee, 1922, Bauhaus. Aaron, if you can bring that puppy up. So, I mean, first of all, do you appreciate this?
I might need my glasses.
Okay, here. This is also close right here.
I'm blind. Yeah, what's happening here?
I mean, dude, you got this guy. So he likes to use a lot of like humor and stuff in his works. Here, you can bring this closer.
I know. I feel like I need to really study this. Yeah, check it out. I need to see what I'm looking at right here.
I like to shoot from the hip. You know what I mean? I already appreciate that you like to take in the work. Me, I'm like immediate effect. This guy's got a nose, and excuse me, pal, if I say it, that looks like a dong.
Yeah.
It looks like a dong. This guy's got a dong nose.
I'm trying to figure out what is even happening. Is that a face? Is that a face? That's it. It's a face. Okay.
And it's like a little man walking. And then you have some sort of like...
little piano.
Piano with a candelabra. which I'm happy I can use the word candelabra. It's textured.
Is it a clown cartoon face?
Yeah, because he likes to use a lot of humor. They said he liked to use a lot of humor in his... Which, you know, this is coming out of... There's expressionism before this and stuff like that. So you do have like some...
Is it some kind of flying contraption or...
It could be,
yeah. What are the little legs? It looks like he's in the air.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it looks like he could be going up for a dunk.
Oh, man.
Although basketball wasn't invented yet.
I don't even know what to think about this. I appreciate the effort and...
No, hell yeah. I mean, look.
Just bringing it to life and whatever it may be.
Sometimes you scope that and you go, dude, not for me. Not going to be on my wall.
Yeah.
That one's not on my wall. But you know what might be on my wall is this next one.
I mean, that's the beauty of art. It's like, you don't have to like it all.
It's subjective. Same with comedy.
Ooh.
All right, so you have Vasily Kandinsky here.
Yes, I like that.
This is called, it doesn't have a very creative name. It's just called Composition 8. He likes to bring together spiritual qualities of color and form.
Ooh, I do like that very much.
What leads somebody to do... This is an interesting question that we can ask, because this is an abstract piece. Mm. What leads somebody to be like, I want to do some more... I mean, it's just got to be the ideas behind it, right? Like Picasso wanted multiple perspectives. Here, you have a lot of... in Bauhaus, it was very modern, so there's a lot of right angles.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's like... You know, they were drawing from futurism and expressionism sort of coming together in a little bit of like, they call it neo-fauvism, which is like the color stuff or whatever. Fauvism, color.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think this is very like basic understanding, but like, I mean, when I look at it, I'm like, this is pretty dank, dude. Like I could have this in my office.
It reminds me of music.
Whoa. Okay. I love that.
I don't know why, but it does. And then the little snaky thing, I wonder... Looks like a piece of thread or something going through a needle.
That looks like a TV antenna right there, which was just way before the TV. Maybe this is the sun up in the corner here.
Yeah, I like that corner. I like the colors he chose.
And it's very textured.
I don't know if I would put it up on my wall, but I do like looking at it and trying to figure out
what exactly. Yeah, it's pretty sick. I would put this on my wall as like a power move. If I was an executive, I'd be like, solve this painting. Like, if you put this all together, it's the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right.
You know, how can you find it in there?
I like the overlapping of, you know, the colors of just the layers, like the triangle and the circle. And
yeah, I like that too. It sort of looks like a dartboard, which is sick.
I just wonder, like, what Yeah, like, how do you even create this? Like, where, like, did he plan it? It's a he, right? Mm-hmm. It's a him. Yeah, what's his name again?
It's Vasily Kandinsky, but it's with a W. I think he was born in Russia, then moved to Germany.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Very Russian.
Yeah, a lot of the, it's, this is in German, so it's like very rigid. It's like,
yeah,
you know, you must have purpose. Like, they just look at something, they go, good. Like, that's the highest praise.
Yeah.
Good.
Looks intense.
Yeah.
It's just, ugh. But I really do wonder, like, as an artist, I do wonder,
yeah,
what's the process of that? Like, is he thinking before, like, oh, I'm going to, does he know exactly what he's going to do? Or does he just free flow it? And I don't know. I doubt he free flows it.
Exactly. And maybe it's one of those, this is like composition 8, where it's like maybe he's got like a series going of like when he gets in this mood, like you had with Monet with the lilies, like with the impression, like he was just like, how do I feel about this pond today? That's what's easier to understand. Like that I like, because I can sort of understand that. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I wake up and I pull out of my apartment and I'm like, this is sick living in LA. Then sometimes I wake up and there's a fucking box truck unloading and a UPS truck. And I'm like, this sucks living it. My impression is different.
Right.
Like I can kind of get that at a very basic level. But this painting, I'm like, dude, I got no idea what's going on here. And in fact, I would only pick it to seem, maybe that's why a lot of art exists. It's dudes trying to seem cool, like they get it. That's what that art is. That's how I interpret that.
Is that guy still alive, you think?
No, this guy, he's dead
he's
now.
He's long gone?
Yeah, he's dead now. He's
probably worth a lot of money.
That thing is worth bank. Yeah, that's worth bank. A lot of this stuff is worth a lot. This like Bauhaus movement.
Oh, for sure.
Now this right here coming up next is by a photographer. So we're moving out of art. Yeah, thank you. How do you say that name? Lazo Molinagi?
Oh, I have no idea.
Hungarian. Hungarian dude. Now, this guy was real intense. He was an intense dude. I was reading about him. He liked to just post up in a dark room, really playing with, what is it? Chiaroscuro, the shading, the lighting of dark and black, you know, the Godfather type stuff, like Francis Ford Coppola's type stuff.
Yeah.
That's what's great about this. A lot of like the photography did influence later films, which is tight. But right here, you just got, like he's playing with perspective and lines and shading.
Totally.
And that's like, he's got a top hat. And that looks like a joint.
For sure. Yeah, that does look like a joint.
That's a joint, or is that a loaf of bread?
What is that? Does it have a face on it?
What is that? He'd be mad. This artist might be mad. He'd be like, that's clearly a joint. I feel like that's how he would talk about this. Or he'd go, that's clearly a loaf of bread, you fool. You definitely put your top hat down to have a loaf of bread. But I'm like, dude, it just looks like a sick ass joint.
I love how like each, you know, subject, each person there is like so detailed and well done, and then there's just this random, and even the hat is beautifully done, and then it's just like this random thing.
I know, it's a joint. That's this guy
it's
being
the
like
joint he was smoking while he made this.
Exactly. But this guy needed a joint. I was reading about the studio, super intense, hung out in dark rooms a lot, you know.
That's photographer,
just really playing with a lot of lighting.
What a weirdo.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be a little bit of a weirdo, dude.
Do you think it's, is it like charcoal or is it paint? Do you know what he used for this?
He would do this one. No, this one
what
is a, this one's a photo.
A photo. So he cuts it out, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, all I read is he just posts up and like he like had a wing at that Bauhaus where like you don't go, probably in the center that everyone steered clear of. And it was just him in these intense glasses just playing around with these things. But like, he also did, yeah, he did do like some sculpting and stuff like that. But
that's cool.
Yeah, and some other type of stuff. But
I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking gnarly. Like, it's modern. That's the thing, modern.
Yeah.
Have we come to an era in art now where there's like, is there any rules? Like, I like poetry. Like, I like when poetry had rhymes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or a haiku, which was sick.
Yeah.
But now it's like any poem. I guess it's all just point of view.
Yeah.
But I want some form. I want some craft. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I like my favorite comics. Granted, I love the storytellers. I love the philosopher comics like a Chappelle, a Carlin. But I love like the Stephen Wright. Just that craft of a setup punch. I like the craft even though I don't understand it, of a Kandinsky. This guy's photography. Are photographers like the most poser artists, or are they legit?
Oh, they're legit.
They're legit?
Yeah, for sure. I love photography.
It's pretty sick. All right, so we got this other dude cruising up. We're cruising right along.
I love this.
This guy, Oscar Schlemmer. Oscar Schlemmer. He was designed. Oh, wait.
Whoa.
Hold up. No, this actually sick. Wasn't supposed to be in here. This was from a different slide. This is a this is a Boris Vallejo.
Oh, my goodness.
This is my favorite artist, Boris Vallejo.
There's some sexy people right there.
Yeah, this just looks like two CrossFit athletes. So I have to tell you, pal, I have a very huge obsession with Boris Vallejo.
Okay.
And sometimes I make a mistake and I put, like whenever I do an art episode, sometimes it happens, I accidentally put a Boris Vallejo work in here.
Wow.
Just, I love the blend of his mythical world. I love these jacked beasts in the background.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't even see that.
Maybe they're like playing chase or something from Dragons. Like,
wow.
You know, maybe they were coming out of an escape room. You know, this is what I imagine what it would be like being in a sick ass escape room. It's what I imagine like your pool party was like, you know? This guy's got a sick ass mullet going on. That's tight. He looks like a second baseman from the 90s, just completely jacked.
God.
What do you think about this?
They don't make bodies like those anymore.
No. So this guy, Boris Vallejo, and Julie Bell is his wife's name.
Mm-hmm.
They both were painting these type of like sick ass paintings or drawings. I think that's technically a drawing. It's like oil on canvas. Is that a drawing or a painting? Could you tell by seeing that?
Oil on canvas? Oh, yeah. It looks like painting, yeah.
They do these sick-ass paintings of just jacked people and like mythical worlds. It's super sick. And I stumbled upon this at a garage sale. I just saw this book. And I was
That's how you found this artist?
Yeah. I was like, this is so
rad. You were blown away.
I was blown away. I was like, hell yeah, I need this immediately. That goes on my coffee table. Yeah, I'm like, dude, this is rad. I go to my barber, I'm like, I want this. And he's like, if I give you that haircut, you won't be that jacked. I'm like, all right, I'll figure that out later. And then what I love too is that great relationship that artist had. I always love like an art, you always imagine an art studio like Picasso.
Mm.
Dude, Picasso was having some ragers in his art studio.
Oh yeah.
You have some sick ass open mics and some sick ass stand-up shows at your art studio.
Hey, I have ragers too.
You have ragers too?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
We party all night.
You got a freaking party. And then, so that's what I loved. And I love that he creates art with his wife. And I'm like, Aaron, can you bring that up one more time, please? I just like to check that out, dude. It's so sick.
That's cute.
Yeah. And she was a bodybuilder.
Oh.
So I think that's why he's like.
Well, that makes sense. That completely.
I mean, these figures, drawing this, it looks legit, right?
Yeah.
And I love the fantastic, I love fantasy shit like that, dude. Those jacked freaking.
So you don't know the story behind this, like where they are, where they're going.
No, but that's what I love. You know, you get to look at it and be like, dude, maybe they're just headed to a sick ass part. Maybe they're over there and they're like, dude, the keg's almost tapped. We got to get to that
just
thing.
Just running from demons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then you can be even more metaphoric. Like, are we all running from our demons?
We are.
You know?
Yes. And that they're high up. There's a whole valley down there with the river.
Fucking sick-ass river down there.
A lot going on. There's a huge fire happening. Maybe he did it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm imagining.
Maybe she did it. I don't know.
Probably they probably just realized that the squat rack at the gym just got empty, and they're both going to cruise to the squat rack at the gym and be like, finally, dude, we've been waiting forever. Kill these freaking beasts and then get our front squats in before we cruise to drink some Michelob Ultras. There's no question that this couple drinks Michelob Ultras.
For sure.
My favorite commercial is for Michelob Ultra, where it's like, do you like rollerblading, but you're also an alcoholic? Get yourself a nice Michelob Ultra.
Oh my God.
I mean, I just love that. I don't know how much Bauhaus influenced that type of work.
Probably not.
Probably zero.
Yeah.
But it's tight.
For sure.
I would say maybe Bauhaus isn't my favorite type of art.
Mm.
But you know, you got to get through this type of stuff. It's heavily influential for mainly a lot of decor and furniture designs that we have, like this table right here.
Right.
You know, it was an era between the big world wars where right after it, they laid, like a lot of these architects and these artists, like the, even like the furniture in that place, it was all meant to be like, it could be mass produced. Before that, like if you had a sick ass cabinet or like a freaking credenza, dare I say, you were wealthy. You didn't just have that. If you were like a normal person working a job or whatever, like, you know, you got hand-me-downs or inherited it or like it stayed there. But then in city living, people began to move and do that type of shit. Bauhaus freaking was so sick for that. Really set people up.
Inspired IKEA.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like you don't get IKEA without that.
Right.
You don't get those dank ass meatballs at IKEA cruising through there.
Dude, that food there is pretty good.
It's legit.
And it's cheap.
Yeah. You could just, you could eat a whole meal and then just literally go pass out in a bed. You imagine being security at IKEA? Just how many people you have to wake up? Oh my God. How many adults?
I love IKEA.
Oh, it's a great, dude, I think the biggest one west of the Mississippi is in Burbank.
Oh yeah.
Like not far like from
2
here.
2 minutes away.
Yeah. And you go to like that, like you find your SKU number or whatever it is, then you go to that Indiana Jones fucking thing and then you get it.
That's always kind of a bitch, but
oh, it's
fine.
The worst.
Don't deal
with it's
it.
The worst.
You gotta do it.
You know, you can see a lot of stuff in IKEA. You see people getting into relationships, living, you know, very beautiful moment. Yeah. Then you see some people, like you see very clearly a dude being like, fuck, man, do they have lava lamps here? Like, I just want my lava lamp back. I just got out of a long relationship. I had to throw that out. You know, in the art there could be considered kitschy, but, you know, you get a nice nature photo, a nice Ansel Adams, put it up. I always say that. I'll say it again.
Oh, yeah.
If you went in doubt, put that up. Or put up a Boris Vallejo. Me, I do put up a Kandinsky, dude. I think it's a power move.
For sure.
It's a power move to put up abstract art.
Oh, yeah.
In your...
I actually take it back. I would put that up in my house.
You would fucking... Let's go. Oh, you put up your... Is it? Mind. Would it be gauche? Is it gauche to put up your own work? You have a studio.
No.
You have
I
a
put
studio.
Up my stuff all the time.
Let's go. That's what I'm talking... Yeah, you got to celebrate this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on. I'm the number one listener of this podcast. I just fucking Tuesday, let's go, dude. On my own commute to work, I'm listening to me being like, nice. And then sometimes I'm like, what an idiot. This guy doesn't fact check shit. Bauhaus, what a moron. Why did he do that? Kandinsky?
Oh,
fucking A, dude. All right, dude, let's keep on cruising through some of these works. And then, pal, is there anything that you are noticing or want to share about modern art or anything? I'm over here talking like I'm some sort of whatever. I mean, if you have anything, please.
I'm
an
art school dropout. So
let's go. Good.
I don't know too much about art history, unfortunately.
See, I have no skill. So I have to study. I have to rely on the history to feel important and cool because I literally have no skill. I don't have any skill or hand. Can't draw. Like, it's not, it's just something that doesn't exist within me. But you have the skill. You were like, look, let me just go feel what I, what was this like an academy where you had to like learn, like a lot of the great artists
that I went to?
Yeah.
It was in Santiago, Chile.
Oh, wow.
I got into this really great art school and I lasted 2 weeks.
Well, good for you for getting
I was a little 19-year-old brat who just always wants to do what she wanted to do. And
you and me both.
Yeah. I don't like people telling me what to do. Never have, never will. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You know, and when I have this teacher telling me, oh, you know, like I think I actually remember the last day I was there and I was like drawing and we were doing the figure drawing, all that stuff there. And I don't know, I think I was like focusing on like her arm or her back or something and I didn't get the full figure. And he told me to do it again and to do the whole thing. And I said, fuck you.
I love that. Isn't that just
like,
the
why
best?
Do I have to, you know, it just, I don't know. I just didn't want to go back. So fuck this.
It's the wrong vibe, dude. Fuck that guy. Also, here's the thing. You've got your own studio now. And you're making your way. And that's
right?
That's your journey. And a lot of the greats drop out. Sometimes you got to say fuck you. You got to say fuck you to the academy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite artists did that, Eduardo Mane. He's like, fuck you, dude. I'm out. I'm going to go put emotion in my work.
Yeah.
You know? And if you can, if you have the gift, like I do think like you literally... Like, if I draw a chair, like, dude, I can't even make that shit 3D. Like, that, you know what I mean? It's lines.
Not bad?
I'm bad. Dude, but this is hilarious though. We were talking before, we both have nieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad saying this, but I don't know if my sister listens, but if you do, sorry. Love my niece. But my sister will send me like her artwork and she'll be like, she has a gift. And I'm like, nah, dude, this is definitely like definitely a 7-year-old did this. I'm like, dude, if you have a gift, if you're a kid artist, a gift, it's like you better be able to draw like a peach with like shading and light.
Yeah.
That's, I'm like, whoa, you're a fucking genius, kid.
Yeah.
But like she did her assignment pretty well. Like she did like her collage like better than most of the students, which is cool.
She's on the road.
Yeah.
She's on, you know, when I was 7, I wasn't great.
True.
You know, I was definitely better than other kids, you know, but I wasn't fucking, I was a kid, you know.
It's true. And what? How many kids are good? Like, was Picasso good as a kid artist or no?
That's a good question.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Sometimes you hear musicians like Beethoven or Mozart, like they had that, like they're savants.
Yeah.
Maybe not everyone's a savant, but they can be amazing.
You know what pisses me off? Those kids who like sell their art, like, you know, for like hundreds of thousands of dollars and there's a pic, you know, it's like whenever I read little news articles about these kids and they're just like, it's just like some weird picture of this like 7-year-old, 8-year-old and with their art and it's,
he's wearing like a hoodie.
And whatever, like there are, I don't even know how many kids fucking are like famous artists, but it's like, ah.
That's pretty
you
hilarious.
Little fucker. And you're they like, make hundreds of thousands of dollars off a painting. Like, what is this? I honestly feel like it's just who you know. You know, you're, who are the parents' kids? I want to know who the parents'
That's
kids are.
True.
Are they connected? What's going on here? Like, I'm like, no, no, you can't make that much money at 7 years old.
I know. Yeah. You know, it's that's kind of interesting. Cool. Like, you would say for art, a lot of the tragic is early on, a lot of the artists, after they die, they're famous.
Mm-hmm.
Now it sounds like these kids got parents in the right setup to expose their art to the community. And the, like, how much would you say? I don't think anything in life is all merit based. Never has been, never will be.
Yeah.
But like, you gotta be somewhat good at least to get,
sure.
Like, you have to be somewhat
get
good.
Get your foot in the door.
Exactly. That's what I love about stand up too, is like, you'll get on shows you probably shouldn't get on, but it's pretty apparent that you shouldn't be there pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you do gotta really go do the work at like a Marty's.
Mm-hmm.
But these kids, these little fuckers, dude, and the parents would probably be so annoying. Like, you imagine like a Little League dad being like, yeah, my kid, like, you know, Brendan, he's pretty good. He, you know, hit for the cycle the other day. It's like, but it's like, Brendan is pretty good. He was really expressive. He really emoted on canvas the other day. And I liked to see that. Like, it was pretty rad. He just walled himself up, stayed out, you know, smoked like 8 cigarettes and just ate nothing but pie and really came out with some nice, you know, expression on, you know, acrylic
just
on
ridiculous.
Canvas.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But you know what? You're putting in the work and you're getting it done. Your stuff is legit.
Thanks.
I freaking love it. Now this guy, Joseph Albers,
ooh,
probably saying that wrong. He created this thing called City. When I look at this, it reminds me of like a flannel.
I like it.
Really?
I do. I like this stuff.
It's linear. For those listening, it's like red, white, and blue or black, a dark blue or black. And it's I guess supposed to just express a city. I mean, it just seems like sort of planned out, but a little bit of
Legos.
Yeah.
Or Tetris.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
His method is interesting, maybe, for this piece. He sandblasts this onto glass, paints thin layers, and then bakes it in a kiln to create a glowing surface.
That's on so glass?
It's a glass painting.
That's cool.
So maybe it's like an interpretation of what goes into building a city. He truly had to like use different methods of craft. And maybe that's really emblematic of Bauhaus because it's a coming together of all these glass blowing, sand glass painting.
Yeah.
Whatever materials that it's on. Maybe that's an interpretation of it. But then you look at it and maybe this is with modern works of sometimes where like it feels comforting to look at that because the angles just all make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like very rigid, like, yes, good, like that fits there. I can see this there. That is pleasant. You know?
I feel like when you look at it, you know, I like that you don't have to, I don't feel like you have to understand it much.
Dude,
like,
that's
you just
the most
looking
legit.
At it, you know, it's one of those paintings you either like it or you don't. And, you know, it's just, you could see how much detail he put into each, like, he measured out every single line.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's interesting that he put like so much time into that, because I can see the, you know, how much work that would take. Just knowing like all the layers of, but yeah. Ah, but yeah, you don't have to think too much about it. Like, you either like it or you don't.
That's kind of really,
I would put that right behind like a couch or something, or like in a walkway, or just adds a cool, interesting something to a wall, you know?
It does. It's very pleasant.
Art doesn't have to always mean something so, you know, deep.
About that right there is,
you know,
a very profound thing to say, because I so like, look, I got chill vibes, but I got the type of chill vibes where it's like everything going according to plan, tight, one thing wrong, what's going on? So it is important to have that message of like, it's okay to not understand. It's okay to not get the rules behind this thing. I mean, if you are interested and that's how you like to appreciate it, cool. If you just like to look and be like, that's tight,
mm-hmm.
cool.
Like my paintings of like clouds or trees. Like I really have pictures. I take pictures of just like a tree, you know, looking up, and then I'll paint it and I'll add some color that I like. And I really don't think too much about it. I just have fun, and it's, I really feel it's the energy that comes out of you. You know, I don't have to spend weeks and weeks on a painting. I could mm-hmm. spend a day on a painting and it could still be cool. Like,
hell yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, it really is emotion. It's all what you feel, you know, it doesn't have to be some, you know, I think a lot of artists think it does. It does need to be, everything needs to be so deep and there has to be some kind of explanation of why. And it's like, eh, fuck all that.
Yes.
Just, do I like it? Do I like the colors? Yes, no. Do I like what it's, you know, I'm like, painting a sky is so simple, but it's cool. Like,
yes.
You know? Like,
and it looks badass.
Just clouds and a couple colors and, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know. But anyway.
I mean, do you think that little seven-year-old bastard, in my words, not pounds, that little seven-year-old bastard's like, I think this needs to have deep meaning. This needs to, this is about what's going on in the Ukraine right now, because he perfectly understands it.
Oh, God.
It's like, geez. All right, let's keep cruising here a little bit. So this is the last work we have from the Bauhaus. It's and remember, this is another piece of art. This is the Farnsworth House.
Love it.
And this is actually in Chicago. So like I mentioned, the end of the Bauhaus, Nazi Germany was taking over. A lot of the school closed down. Don't want free thinking spaces. And then the artists were like, or out. And so a lot of came to the United States.
Yeah.
So this was actually on a model on display from this architect who was the leader of the Bauhaus while it closed and everything, Mies van der Rohe, so probably a Dutch guy, Mies van der Rohe. And I mean, this is pretty sick. Like it's a very modern, this influenced like Frank Lloyd Wright. It's a stilted house. It's got heated floors. It's supposed to be springing from nature. He used a lot of the wood in nearby Indiana. The original design was intent for some Italian wood or something like that. But mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be something that came up out of nature, even though with this, and Paul, I'm very happy I can use this word, juxtaposition to what's going on.
Wow.
It looks very man-made, like it's right angles. What do they say about nature? You don't get right angles in nature.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's irony, but in any case, I would imagine this looks like a house, and excuse me, this looks like where a, you know, perhaps that pool party. If there was a pool here, you would see a very, you would see nude models hanging out here and you go, that makes sense.
Right.
I don't think you see a family of three living here.
Where's the pool though?
They
need the pool.
They do need a pool. I mean, immediately, the Orange County meme, I was like, where's the fucking pool? Where's the barbecue? But that's what I mean. There's no family living here.
It's art.
There's one sad writer who's going to go on a killing spree. That's who lives in that house. But it's pretty sick.
I like it.
I mean, it is cool.
I would live there.
I feel like artists would live here.
I live there, for sure.
Or, like I mentioned, a writer who's going to go on a killing spree. But it looks awesome. It doesn't look cozy.
No.
It's not cozy.
It's not cozy.
But it's very aesthetically pleasing.
You can
pleasing.
Show it off to your friends because it looks cool.
That's what it's all about.
That's all that matters, right?
100%. And that was like, some lady who's like I forget what she was like a prominent woman in the Chicago area and then had that built like about 60 miles outside of Chicago, which is pretty freaking, pretty freaking badass. I mean, look, we tackled different mediums. We tackled architecture, paint on glass, photography, a sick ass Boris Vallejo painting, which is so sick. We talked about, I wanted to ask you about this. Street art. Do you have to be French to be a street artist? Imagine just all French dudes wearing cargo pants that are sweats, posting up and being
street
artists.
You know, actually, you know Banksy, right?
I know Banksy.
Okay.
I know I have heard of Banksy, but.
Remember he, you know, got all famous because of his rats?
Yes.
Have you heard of Blake Le Rat?
No.
So that's the guy that started that whole thing. He was a street artist who would put rats everywhere, and he kind of had that whole style. And Banksy went and stole that shit.
He stole that?
Oh, yeah. Look him up. Blake Le Rat. Can you look it up?
I can look it up right now.
Just look at some of his images. He's French. French street artist.
Blake,
B-L-E-K.
That's the perfect way to spell Blake. B-L-E-K.
Blake.
Le Rat. Yeah, like Le Rat.
Yeah, check out some of his art.
Okay, let's see here.
I always thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some of these. Yeah, the rat. Oh, I like the rat with an AK-47 shooting a sunflower, rat taking a selfie.
So what do you think?
It's sick. I mean, it's on the street. I like to imagine these guys I like to imagine the process sometimes when I'm looking at the art. Like, I like to imagine him just on a skateboard wearing some freaking, you know.
I'd be pissed if I were him at Banksy.
Oh, he got ripped off.
Yeah.
Does that happen a lot? I mean, obviously.
Banksy started with I think he started with like the whole rat thing.
And yeah, you can't be having that.
But, you know, I like Banksy. I think he's cool.
He does some sick shit. He can really do some good, political and cultural satire. And
I like that, that one painting he sold for all that money and then he destroyed it immediately. That was cool.
That's cool because it takes down the art scene too. It's like, you guys are just a scene.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. And, what else did he do? I forgot.
What do you think about this whole you hear about dork ass dudes talking about NFTs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those seem like they've kind of gone, but like digital art and stuff. What do you think about that? Do you think there's lasting stuff there? Is that like a medium that is valid, or what does it take to be valid, I guess?
I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
At all.
No, I like the older school stuff. I like something that's somewhat tangible, even though you're not supposed to touch it. But like,
I'm just not. Like, I've tried. I've had plenty of, you know, NFT friends, you know, come through and like this and that ideas, and you know, let's do this NFT show. And I'm like, And I'm just not excited about it at all.
It doesn't excite me. And maybe it's because the people that talk about it, and no offense, seem like the biggest dorks. It's like always the dude at work that like he's trying to trick you, or like he's always into the latest fad, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, dude, nah, bro. I'm like, you don't know what you like, and now you're deciding to like NFT. When you're what you like is a decision to like. Like, I used to memorize facts about Jazz Pow and then drop it in conversation to try to be like, just get dominated, you know, to like sort of mentally pin my dad. And then I realized that's just being a poser. That's lame. Why do that? Just have a genuine interest. And look, I don't want to yuck anyone's yums. If you're genuinely interested, cool.
Yeah.
But not for me.
Yeah.
I'll take street art all day long. I want a dude in a hoodie skating or riding an e-scooter and tagging something.
So you love it. You love street art.
I think it's cool.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever gone out on the streets?
There was a buddy of mine in high school one time. We were like, dude, let's go tagging.
Yeah.
We live in Orange County. I'm like, dude, we have nothing to rebel against. Like, everything's pretty comfortable here.
You could say fuck Trump. It's Trump town.
True, true.
If you want to say fuck Trump.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely do that.
There's a lot of Trumpers out there.
Yeah, they call it the Orange Curtain.
Oh, my God.
They do, you know. You cruise there. That's kind of interesting, is like symbolism and stuff, like the American flag. Like, if you have a regular American flag, it's almost now like, dude, you're super conservative. But it's like, dude, it's all of our flag. I want it back, dude. It's everyone's, dude.
I love America.
Yeah, it's sick. And yeah, did you grow up in Chile?
I went there during high school for a couple years. But when I came back, out. You know, it's a great, it was great back then when I was living there. How many years ago? A long time ago. 10? No. Oh my God, no. Much more. Shit, what's, I don't know math. No, yeah.
A little while ago. Three years ago.
But yeah, it was really fun to live out there, but now I think it's just gone to shit. Like,
really?
I think it's, yeah, it's not, the economy's bad now, everything's, it's dangerous. But yeah, it was fun living out there. But when I came back, it was such a culture shock. You know, 2 years being away, where everything's in Spanish, and that's not my first language. Like, my dad didn't teach me Spanish growing up.
Really?
I grew up here in the valley, right over, like, nearby.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, my dad never taught me. My mom's this, you know, white girl from San Francisco. And, but yeah, when I moved away, so my mom is a Jehovah's Witness.
Whoa, okay, yeah. Now we're talking.
Do you know
Let's
any
go.
Of those?
I don't know. Actually, you know what?
Yeah. It's intense.
There was one mom on my basketball team growing up, this kid, Jake. And you, I don't know if you grew up and like your mom would like force you to be friends with a kid because they're like,
yeah,
I don't
what?
Know.
Yeah.
And like I got, my mom was like, you're going to go hang out with Jake. And I was like, I don't want to hang out with Jake. Dude, this kid sucks. And his mom was a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like,
what about him?
Interesting. He was just kind of like,
whatever.
He was all right. Like I remember like at his house, he had like a lot of wigs. We put on like wigs and like did characters. But I like that type of, I like characters.
Oh,
that's
like
cool.
Wigs
that cool.
Like for like dress up.
Yeah.
Not like your mom, not like his mom's wigs. And you guys like went into your closet.
And that was like his costume Halloween cabinet.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And
then we saw Gladiator.
Cool.
Then we saw Gladiator and I was like,
well,
I
pretty much ran away from my mother.
Yeah, so wait, what was that like? Yeah.
It was just a lot. Like, I never celebrated my birthday. She never let me celebrate my birthday. From
really?
When I was 15, from the time I was born until I was 15 years old, I was not allowed to have a birthday.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so then I went to visit my dad because he was living out there at that time. And, oh yeah, my dad, like, threw me a birthday party and it was so much fun. He, like, got me and my friends into this discotheque and like
fuck
all this
yeah.
shit. It was great. And I just called my mom. I talked to my dad about it. And he's like, you can stay. I'll get you into school. And so I call my mom. I'll never forget the conversation. And I just tell her I'm not coming home.
Dang.
And I left everything. I left my room the same. All my friends from high school out here, they're like, where'd you go? Remember AIM? Remember AIM?
Hell yeah, I remember. I thought I was going to be on AIM forever.
Where are you?
AOL Instant Messenger.
AIM
like,
forever.
Like doing like freaking quotes from like Bon Jovi as my away message, like BRB.
Dude, it
like,
was so fun.
Totally aimed at like a girl I had a crush on. I'd be like, yeah, dude, BRB. Like
yeah.
whatever, like Waymer's 5. Like, sorry, dude. Like, you know.
Dude,
oh, 100%.
You know, you
dude.
Get it. That was our time. That was like.
It was the best. I thought I was going to be on there until I was 40.
Yeah.
You know?
What happened to it? Where is
just
it now?
Just got replaced. Got replaced by, you know, DMing on
just
Instagram and all this
the
type of crap.
Internet abyss.
Yeah.
Well,
so you aimed. You didn't aim your mom.
No, all my friends were like, where are you? And I just ended up staying. But yeah, I called my mom. And I told her, yeah, I'm not coming back. And she was pretty upset. But what do you expect? What do you expect when you torture a child her
don't
entire
tell me your birthday?
God, that's wrong. That's trauma that
damn,
I need to get over
dude.
Still. I'm still
great. We process all that shit for sure. For sure. Are you kidding me? I had like, there was like four siblings. So there's five kids in my family. It wasn't as birthday, just got forgot. Like, I remember I got a 3-wood one time when I was 10. I'm like, if I'm gonna be getting 3 golf clubs for my birthdays, I'm out, dude. Like, I was like, so even to this day, I'm like, I don't care about my birthday. But it should be celebrated. That sucks.
It would be nice to like have a little cake.
Yes, especially
mom.
As a kid. Like, yeah, dude, 100%.
Yeah, so that's why I moved away. But when I came back, it was quite a culture shock. Like, but it was cool. And I'm glad I experienced that. And but yeah, when I came home, I really did think like, wow, America's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. Like, just the roads and everything makes sense. You know, like everything.
It's true.
Usually.
There are
not
parts
everything.
Of LA. Yeah. A little inside baseball, but San Vicente Boulevard, it's a fucked up street.
You need to go to another country to really understand.
And that's important to get that travel. And that's why when you're a 7-year-old kid, how can you do art, dude? You don't even know how to like fucking find your way around a city, dude.
You've never gotten your heart broken?
Yeah.
You know, they don't have any trauma.
Exactly. You never freaking messed up your taxes and now gotta pay for it, dude. You never had to call your mom and be like, dude, can I borrow money? And then, but like an adult and promise to pay her back, but don't. Like, You never had to do that yet, dude. Also, you're a millionaire, so you don't have some people are hitting you up, little kid. I've got beef with these fucking little kids. No, dude, that's amazing. And thank you for sharing that story, pal. I mean, yeah, hey, that's the beauty of art. Stand up, whatever your medium is, putting out that point of view.
And it is cool that, like, Powhaus is so similar to Bauhaus. I wasn't even planning any of that. Like, I didn't even know I was going to name this place Powhaus. Like, I mean, obviously I'm Pow. Like, I wanted to keep, like, I really, like, thought about it for a couple of weeks. Like, okay, what am I going to call this place? And just me and my friends were, like, smoking, drinking at the place. And we're just like, House of Pow, Studio, Pow Studio. It's boring. And then, I don't know, we're just thinking like, oh, Powhaus. Yeah, like, yeah. And, you know, some people don't know about Bauhaus. A lot of people don't know about Bauhaus. But when people do know and they're like, oh, like, it's cool when they're like, oh,
it works. Bauhaus.
But yeah, it is so similar. Like, I do so many different types of art there.
You have classes
like, it's
there.
So cool.
Yeah, you have your class where people are drawing figures and stuff.
Yeah.
And then would you ever do a collective? What are your plans for the future, I guess, like extend for, or mainly just use it as to find your own voice and everything, obviously, but will you bring in other artists, collective, or anything like that?
Yeah, so I actually had a big artist, I represented a big artist for over a month. His name is David Daniels. He's a really cool claymation animator, OG.
Oh, sweet.
Like, he's a goat to all these cartoon people, animation people, and I was connected to him because one of my friends in my drawing club, he's an animation guy, and he directs like all this stuff. So he knew this artist, you know, he's in his 60s, this guy, and he lives in Portland. So he connected me because he was saying like, hey, this guy David needs a space, an art gallery, and I told him about your place, and so we connected and. It was so wild because, like, I was all in. You know, I'm trying to make the best out of this place. I'm hustling. I told you, like, I'm hustling. I, you know, when people walk into my place and think I'm just, like, some trust fund baby, it's hilarious to me because, like, no.
Yeah.
I have cried, bled, fucking for this place to even get the keys to even, like, it's crazy. And to keep it, you know, this whole year. It's been wild. It's been a crazy ride. The owner of my place is out of his mind. He's a slumlord, fucking crazy guy. He's tried to kick me out so many times, and it hasn't happened yet. And that's why I feel like it's the universe, like, watching over me, watching over us, artists, you know? Like, after the pandemic, like, this is, like, such a gift to, like, me, but also to, like, everyone. Like, I'm really, truly... It's crazy how many amazing, talented artists I've met this year through this place.
It's awesome.
Like, I can't even believe it. So, like, when I started it, I just didn't even think about that. And now it's like, wow, this community is just growing and growing. And I think I'm a good person for that. I think I was chosen in a weird, you know, the universe chose me to do this, to manage it and to, you know, to come up with ideas. Like, in a couple weeks, we're going to have a singles mingle.
There you go.
And Ben Glebe is hosting it.
Let's go. That's
so
great.
Funny.
See, that's a fun idea. I think, like,
you know,
I
just
always
being creative and getting it out there.
Well, that's great. And you know what? The artists are like, it's important for artists to have a home. And if that's Powhaus, that's awesome. So good for you on that. And then also, you know, whatever they say, your background, if you come from anything and from some money, and you look at any artists, a lot do. And, but if there's anything, going into the arts, is a surefire way. Like, yes, money will help you in many ways, but with art, like we were talking about earlier, you still got to have the goods. You still got to create your voice and everything. And so good for you for getting after it and getting
Thanks.
After it and taking that step and creating that space for everybody there. That's so legit. Also, like, I love that you're gonna have a singles night there, because I always tell people, sometimes we'll do write-in questions on the pod, but we don't have time today. But I always say a good first date is like a comedy show, because you'll see what each other laughed at and kind of get their sense of humor. But then also, look how much personality comes out when you're just interpreting and looking at any paintings, even if you don't understand it or whatever. Like, I say, go walk a museum, go to freaking Powhaus and check out this whatever works you're going to have up there that night.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. It's good. It's talking
so
piece.
Fun.
Have a little freaking vino, dude.
You know, some people tell me, you know, oh, I don't like comedy. You know, I'll invite everyone to my comedy show, of course. And they're like, oh, I don't like it. It's like, what do you mean you don't like it? And they're like, oh, I feel bad for them up there when they bomb. And I'm like, what?
So you're
going to not laugh at everything. Like, maybe you're going to like one of the comics. And
exactly.
I don't know. You're not going to like all of them, but maybe you'll like a couple and you'll laugh. I put funny people up there. I don't put anyone up there. So.
You curate a good show.
Thanks.
And also, I think it's nice for people to understand, and maybe this is an interesting point of like, not all sets, actually like 99% of sets aren't that comic special. So like, even if you go see freaking Chris Rock, who's like top of the top, what he's going to be doing that night, he's working shit out. Like when you go to a show, it's like you're very much like kind of watching the process, you know, like it's a game, but this ain't the playoffs yet or the finals, you know? So that's a fun way to look at going to stand up for anyone listening. And maybe you can tell your friend like, no, you're watching the process a little bit.
Totally.
And it doesn't have to always work. But it is awkward. Like, you know, when someone like fucks up the national anthem or whatever, you're like, oh, like
yeah.
It's real pitchy. You sink in your seat. I do get that. And I've given that feeling to people and also felt it for others. And it does suck. But like you said, dude, you're not watching an hour of one dude.
Yeah.
Like it's 10 minutes, you're going to go through. Odds are someone will say something. You'll have a nice night.
Yeah.
You don't need to go every night.
I just love it. It is art. You know, it's performance art. You're
exactly.
up there and you're, and that's why it's perfect to be in a, you know, for it to be in an art gallery. Like,
hell
and
yeah,
when they bomb or when they're not funny, like, whatever.
Fine.
I don't laugh.
Exactly. You just don't laugh. You sip your drink. You go, all right, chill, dude.
I like when comics know nobody's laughing and then they like say, okay, that didn't work. And then everyone laughs and that's a talent right there. That's a,
yes,
like, to be able to like maneuver from nobody laughing and still be funny. I mean, I respect it so much. Like the comedians, like, I don't know how you guys do it. It's crazy.
I love attention. That's how I do it.
No, that,
I
100%.
Need it.
Yeah. The good ones, the ones who really make it, need attention.
I gotta have it.
Yeah.
So, pal, without further ado, I think that concludes our ep. Thank you so much. Is there anything more we should mention about your studio or anything more I've left unsaid before we cruise out that you'd like any Dankatorians listening to hear or anything like that?
Yes. Follow Powhouse Gallery for any updates.
Yes.
I do open mic comedy on Wednesdays. I'm very consistent with this stuff, but if I don't have it, I post about it but usually I'm
sweet.
And then Thursdays I do open mic music, which is, I think, is one of the best open mics in LA. I don't understand why, but all of these amazing talented musicians come to
I'd like
place.
To check that out.
And that's a great date night too, to
100%.
Just go listen to some music. Friday is my comedy show, and then Sundays our drawing club. That's where you can go draw nude models, and beginners are welcome.
Don't just show up and be a weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm there, I'll be like, I'm an artist, and you go there and it's just a dude with a boner.
Oh, I'm watching. Any new guy.
Exactly.
I'll be like, hey, how are you?
Yeah, you got a vet.
Oh, yeah. And I'll be like, oh, how'd you hear about this place? Where do you go draw usually? And it's fine if they've never done it. I want them to feel comfortable. You know, I don't want to be like. But
you can tell the intent. It's
totally.
Pretty, you can tell the intent.
You can. But the only thing that's really coming up, I'd say, aside from the weekly events that I throw, Singles Mingle with Ben Glebe on December 3rd.
Let's go. There you have it. So stoked. Thank you so much, pal, for being here.
Thank you.
I'll include the socials in the link. And dude, enjoy some art. Go around, cruise. It's the holidays, you know what I mean? Take it in.
Yeah.
I do the paint-by-number drawings. They work for me. Super fun.
We're going to have a bunch of art before Christmas, too, if anybody wants to come by. We're going to have a bunch of cool local artists. So if you want to get gifts, affordable, like Bauhaus, they have affordable art.
Boom, I love that. So you don't have to cruise to IKEA, dude.
Yeah, just $5,000, you know, for a painting.
Who doesn't have that? Come on. Hey, but honestly, it could be an investment. It's a form of investment. Thank you so much, pal.
Thank you.
Questions, comments, suggestions, StriderWilsonStretch@gmail.com. Check out the Patreon. Leave a review. That always helps. Freaking stay stoked, and we'll catch you on the next one. Aaron, thank you. You're a beast.
Thank you.
Nice. That was fun.
That was fun.